If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
And now, without further ado, let's begin.
No one knows exactly when the harvest lottery began in the remote mountain town of Red Ridge. Most folks assume it dates back over a century, started by the superstitious miners who first settled here. Each year, when autumn touched the peaks and turned the leaves blood red, the lottery would come around again. It was just another grim tradition woven into the town's fabric. The lottery worked like this. Had their name entered into the box, a weathered thing carved from black walnut, adorned with strange symbols and stained dark from years of nervous sweat on lottery night. On the harvest full moon, the whole town gathered in the village square, breath fogging in the chill mountain air. Everyone waited with quiet dread as the elder drew a name from the box, condemning that person to the town's sacrificial rite. The winner had to walk directly to the mouth of the long-abandoned iron mine outside town and enter alone. The mine doors would be locked and chained behind them for good measure. No one knew what lay waiting in those cold subterranean tunnels. But legend held that some ancient evil lurked within, passing judgment on any who ventured inside. Of the dozens who had entered the mine over the decades, none had ever emerged again. When you turn 18 in Red Ridge, your name goes in the box. Most folks I grew up with didn't fret too much about the lottery, even after becoming old enough to be potential sacrifices. We assumed level-headed people no longer took the superstition seriously. The lottery was likely just a morbid custom that had outlived its relevance. But everything changed for me as harvest season neared my 18th year. My blood turned colder than the mountain air. For the first time, the threat of the lottery felt chillingly real. I lay awake at night, imagining the cold walk to those gaping mine doors that had swallowed up so many. Finally, the night arrived, the Harvest Moon Lottery. I stood tense among the silent crowd packed into the square, breath pluming and limbs numb with nerves. My eyes fixed on the walnut box resting in the elder's gnarled hands, so weighted down with slips of paper that the sides bulged outward. So many names, I told myself. So many names other than mine. The elder cleared his throat, a deep voice echoing off the surrounding buildings. Red Ridge has called, and one shall answer. May the harvest protect us all. With that, his shaking fingers pried open the lid and withdrew a single slip. I swear my heart ceased beating in the agonizing moment before he read the name aloud. Abigail Fowler. A choked sob rose somewhere in the crowd. I barely registered the surge of relief at not hearing my own name. all I could focus on was the ashen-faced girl being clutched by her weeping mother nearby. Young Abigail staring with round, horror-filled eyes, soft brown braids framing her stricken face. Two of the town's largest men moved through the crowd towards her, faces grim. Abigail's father pleaded and shoved at their chests, to no avail. Their heavy hands closed around her small arms, half carrying the paralyzed girl who looked far younger than 18 in this moment. Her mother trailed behind them, face twisted in anguish. The grim procession moved towards the path leading out of town. Everyone silently followed, a miserable funeral march beneath the bloated harvest moon. We came to the mine entrance, all boarded up and covered in creepers, except for the two rotten doors at the mouth. The rusted chains and lock lay ready nearby. Abigail stood mute, trembling as the men fastened the cold metal links around her wrists until she was bound to the doors. Her ashen face was damp with silent tears, but she did not struggle. All fight had gone out of her. The two men hauled the doors open just enough for Abigail's frail form to pass through. As soon as she stumbled over the threshold, they slammed the entrance closed. The lock clicked heavy and final in the still night air. The silence lingered for a long moment before people began drifting back towards town, unable to bear looking upon the mine doors for a second longer. Abigail's parents collapsed into each other's arms, broken sobs echoing across the rock face. I turned away, bile burning in my throat, and started the long walk home beneath the bleak light of that swollen autumn moon. That night, the first frost came early and painted the town white, but nothing could chill me more deeply than what I had witnessed. 1 year had passed since the horrific lottery night when young Abigail Fowler had been sacrificed to the mine. In that time, I had almost convinced myself that nothing so awful could happen twice in one lifetime. But seasons turned, and the harvest moon arrived again to prove me wrong. The night air held the same brittle chill as last year. My breaths came shallow and fast as I took my place among the villagers in the square. I barely heard the elder's voice over the pounding of my heart. It seemed even the walnut lottery box had taken on a sinister air as it was carried forth, appearing darker and heavier than before. The elder slowly lifted the lid. I stood, paralyzed, muscles wound agonizingly tight. His fingers dipped inside and withdrew a slip of paper that he unfolded with maddening care. I prayed to any god listening that the name would not be mine. The elder adjusted his glasses and read the scrawled name in a ringing voice that shattered the night's silence. All warmth drained from my body and time seemed to stop. Then the elder repeated my name, eyes meeting mine with grave finality. This couldn't be real. I had barely turned 19. My name had only been in the box for a year. My shocked mind grappled for explanations. Perhaps this was just a nightmare soon to end. But the heavy gazes of the crowd crushing in felt terribly real. I scanned their faces desperately, seeking just one sympathetic soul who might intervene on my behalf. But their expressions held only pity and relief at not being the one chosen. In that stretched-out moment of disbelief, rough hands grabbed at my arms, jolting me back to the horrific present. I turned to find two of the burliest men flanking me, their meaty fingers clamped around mine. They began marching me down the path out of town, indifferent to my struggles or panicked protests. This was their solemn duty.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Formed without emotion. I knew then this was no nightmare. My mind reeled, struggling to accept my grisly fate as we passed beneath the gaping mine entrance. 1 year ago, I had stood numbly in the crowd as poor Abigail met her end here. Now that monster of a mine waited hungrily to swallow me as well, its secrets guarded by those decrepit chained doors. The rusted bindings cut cruelly into my wrists and ankles as I was fastened to the entrance. The heavy links allowed just enough slack for me to stand or sit, but no chance of escape. Not that fleeing into the wilderness would grant me mercy. The lottery had selected me. The ritual must be completed. The two men worked in silence to unbar the doors. A weeping woman stepped forth, pressing a lantern into my quaking hands, the sole comfort allotted to those sacrificed. And then the doors groaned open, revealing the impenetrable darkness awaiting me. One of the men gave me a gentle shove over the threshold, and I stumbled inside. With an awful note of finality, the doors creaked shut once more, leaving me sealed in that unfathomable blackness. I heard the lock turn, followed by the receding footsteps of the townsfolk hurrying back to their lives, wanting no part in what came next. Alone now, I sank to my knees on the frozen earth, lantern clutched in white knuckles. The feeble ring of light pushed back the subterranean shadows only a few feet, a primal, smothering force that squeezed the breath from my lungs. I had no concept of time down there in that eternal night. Seconds and hours lost all meaning as I waited, paralyzed by the hideous unknown around me. The lantern's oil would not last long. Once that fragile light was extinguished, even my sight would be stripped away, leaving me utterly at the mine's mercy. The only noises were the frantic hammer of my heart and the occasional drip of distant water. But listening closer, I detected subtle sounds that stirred the primordial fears buried in all men, the scuttling of unseen feet, slithering whispers that raised goose flesh, barely audible moans that seemed to come from the rock itself. Gradually, those subtle cues painted a picture of the mind's dark soul, the ravening entity that had consumed so many frightened minds before mine. I felt it observing me even now, toying with its prey as a coyote does. Once it finished, savoring the terror of what I could only imagine lay ahead, my sanity would be devoured. I cannot say how long I remained there on my knees, listening to the mesmerizing silence that hinted at unfathomable nightmares. But finally, my paralyzing dread began transforming into anger. I was meant to cower until that mythical monster of superstition stole my will to live, but I would not kneel here meekly, awaiting death like all those before me. If the elders needed their ritual sacrifice to maintain their delusions, so be it. But I would face my end with defiance, not terror. Planting my feet firmly beneath me, I rose, muscles creaking from long disuse. I took up the lantern and cast its light down the nearest tunnel, which disappeared into impenetrable shadow. With my blood burning in defiance, I marched into the hungry dark, determined to meet my fate head on. The leanings and odd angles of the mind soon left me disoriented and lost, but I pushed deeper into the web of tunnels without care. Sooner or later, the lantern would expire, leaving me utterly at the mercy of this dead place. But I walked on, daring the ancient evil lurking here to face me directly. Gradually, the last flickers of light began to dim, darkness pressed in as the final drops of oil sputtered. When at last the flame shuddered and died, I was plunged into a void utterly empty of light. I stood tall, waiting for the end. But nothing came. There was only the same ominous silence and the beating of my heart. I am not sure how long I waited in that perfect darkness for death to claim me. But eventually I grasped that there was no lurking evil here in these tunnels. There was only an empty grave where ignorance and fear had buried generations of innocence. The true monster was the lottery itself and the frightened people who fed it year after year. I sank again to my knees, weeping bitterly for all the lives sacrificed to this evil tradition. Now, understanding the truth, too late. As my tears slowed, steely purpose took root within me. I would find my way out of this hell, even if I must crawl for years through endless blackness. The darkness was absolute. Even my own hand was invisible as I fumbled along the crumbling mine wall. Every other sense strained to compensate for the lack of sight. The tunnels smelled of age and minerals, with a subtle undertone of decay. The only sounds were my tense breaths and the skitter of clawed feet somewhere in the void, what I assumed to be rats. Blind exploration was slow and difficult. More than once, I nearly cracked my skull, tripping over rubble piles and warped lumber. Each new chamber or tunnel fork brought a fresh wave of anxiety. The darkness toyed with my mind. The mind seemed endless, sprawling out into that lightless eternality. Perhaps there was no escape. No, I shook my head violently, casting out those insidious thoughts. I could not afford to let fear and isolation unravel my courage. There had to be a way back into the light. As I crept forward, hands sliding along the tunnel wall, my fingers brushed across strange, I traced the etchings. They were symbols of some kind, arranged in vertical rows, some combination of letters and pictograms, though I could make no sense of them. A miner's code, or older, placed here generations before the first lantern light shone into this darkness. There was no way to tell. The glyphs gave me an idea. I withdrew my Swiss Army knife and began carving my own marks into the stone, arrows pointing back the way I had come from. It was a desperate hope that these signs might guide me out of this maze if I became lost or turned around, and making them helped steady my nerves. I carved whenever the tunnel walls allowed, leaving a trail of symbols like breadcrumbs to lead me home. The mind swallowed me deeper through strangely twisted passages that often narrowed to the point of crawling. Rot and more disturbing odors I dared not dwell upon. My hands grew slimy with minerals leaching from the rock, and my knees ached from scrambling over uneven ground. But I pushed on, etching more arrows through chamber after turn after unknowable room until a glow so faint I first believed it a trick of my light-starved brain. But no, it persisted. A whisper of orange just around the next bend. I scrambled forward on raw palms, heart hammering. Any light meant someone else was down here, but who and why? I peered cautiously around the corner. In an arched side chamber stood a small makeshift camp illuminated by a single guttering candle. Empty bean cans were scattered around a ratty bedroll. A few wooden crates served as crude shelves and a table covered in scrawled notes, books, and carved stone tablets. Like the ones I'd felt on the walls. Through the grime, I could make out titles on the books. Archaeological excursions in Americas, runic ciphers of antiquity, mystic origins of native tribes. This was no miner's camp. Someone had been living down here intentionally, studying the mine or searching for something. But where were they now? The single candle flickered as if recently lit, its host likely to return soon. I hesitated, then crept into the chamber. If I meant to find my way out, I needed that precious light. Spotting a small candle stub, I lit it from the flame and quickly retreated from the camp. Once I was beyond earshot, I paused to get my bearings. The candle's warm glow was feeble against the dark, but after so long blind, it seemed to shine like the sun itself. By its wavering light, I could study my crude arrow trail carved along the left wall. I had no idea how deep in the mine I now was, but the signs offered reassurance that I could retrace my steps. I crept onward, the candle's flame dancing hypnotically against the rough walls. But as I went, the hairs on my neck prickled. I was not alone down here. The conviction crept over me that I was being watched from the blackness beyond my frail ring of light. The shadows gathered ominously. My own skittish breaths and footsteps echoed back in strange cadences that made me question what was real sound and what were figments of my mind. If I stopped and listened close, I swore I could hear the slow tread of footsteps trailing me through the tunnels. Yet each time I spun around, waving the candle to illuminate the darkness behind, nothing was there. Still, the feeling of being stalked gnawed at me. I quickened my pace, desperate to outrun the lurking presence dogging my steps. But the feeling only intensified, like the breath of some invisible thing on the nape of my neck. Frantic now, I broke into a stumbling run, one hand shielding the fragile candle flame. The erratic light only multiplied the shadows, which now seemed to sway and stretch as if alive. I crashed into a wall, barely twisting in time to protect the precious light. Gasping, I sank to the dusty ground, back pressed against the solid wall. The candle flickered madly in my hands as I strained every sense for some sign of what shared this darkness with me. But only silence filled the tunnels. It seemed the unseen watcher had abandoned the pursuit, if indeed it had ever been real at all. I pulled my knees tight to my chest, clinging to the candle like a ward against demons. These tunnels were driving me mad. I had to keep moving before that tenuous grasp on sanity slipped away. With a new wariness about the shadows themselves, I pushed onward once more, guided by my crude trail of carved arrows and the praying the light would hold. The candle's glow pushed back the ravenous dark as I descended ever deeper through the mine's tunnels. But the light seemed to attract the darkness as well, drawing out strange shapes in the corners of my vision. The shadows contorted into leering faces and claws that danced wildly any time I whipped my head around, only to find empty air. I passed more crude arrow markings carved into the rock walls, though I could no longer tell if they were my signs or if they belonged to someone else. Down here, the passages all looked the same, Then I entered a mildewed chamber and my fading light fell upon a huddled form in the corner. Heart seizing, a withered corpse curled against the wall. Then my vision adjusted and I laughed shakily. Heart seizing, a withered corpse curled against the wall. Then my vision adjusted and I laughed shakily. It was only a pile of stained burlap sacks. But when I turned to leave, another dark mass lay sprawled further down the tunnel. Approaching slowly, the shape turned into a decayed wooden barricade. But in the shadows, it resembled a skeletal body trapped beneath the collapse. The deepening darkness painted life onto anything stationary while making living things appear as tricks of the eye. Or perhaps the mind itself was distorting reality, eager to make me question my own senses as it had so many before. I dared not trust anything these tunnels showed me. I stumbled over a pile of rubble, nearly extinguishing my candle. As I regained my footing, the light fell upon a weathered wooden sign driven into the floor. Danger. Keep out. Foolishly, I took the sign as proof I was nearing the outer sections of the mine again, and that the exit could not be much farther. Buoyed by reckless hope, I climbed over the barricade the sign was posted on. Beyond, the passage narrowed further until I was forced to crawl on my hands and knees. The dilapidated tunnel seemed ready to collapse at the slightest vibration. Jagged rocks scraped my skin as I wriggled forward. Then my hands landed on something soft, covered in rough cloth. I recoiled instinctively from the squirming object. Regaining my nerve, I brought the candle closer and nearly screamed. The light illuminated a contorted human arm, jutting from beneath a small cave-in. Scrambling closer, the full horrific scene was revealed. A collapsed skeleton lay crushed by fallen rocks, clothed in a rotten woolen shirt and trousers, miner's clothing. The body's posture was twisted unnaturally. One arm was still outstretched, like he had been clawing for escape in his final moments. I fell back, gagging as the corpse's sunken eyes seemed to stare directly at me. Sickened, I turned to flee the claustrophobic tunnel and gruesome discovery. But as I retreated, my light shimmered off dirty metal just beyond the corpse. A miner's helmet with a candle bracket. Grimacing, I pried the helmet an intact candle from those bony fingers. A cold theft, perhaps, but necessary to grant me similar hope of deliverance. Putting on the helmet, I continued, desperate to escape this place. The flame's glow bobbed erratically, granting glimpses of further corpses and bones littering the tunnel floor. Death was everywhere here. The air grew fouler, filled with untold horrors just outside the feeble ring of light, until finally, miraculously, a breath of fresher air kissed my face. Gasping with relief, I staggered into an open cavern, the space brightening ahead. Daylight, an exit. I rushed heedlessly toward that beautiful promise growing nearer, my heart soaring when suddenly the ground ended beneath me. With a startled cry, I plunged into icy subterranean water, the fall extinguishing my precious light. I thrashed in the blind pool, groping wildly for which way was up until my head broke the surface. I gasped down damp air as I treaded in the dark waters, the exit. Where was it? I called out desperately but heard only echoes mocking me. I treaded water endlessly in that lightless pool, too exhausted to cry out anymore. My frantic struggles eventually stopped. As my will to survive flickered, I prayed the end would come quickly. But just as I began to sink beneath the numb black waters, a sound drifted through the chamber. A voice, muffled and distant, but undoubtedly human. I became alert, listening intently. There it was again. A man's anguished cry for help. New strength surged through my exhausted body. I was not alone down here after all. Splashing wildly, I fumbled along the water-slick walls encircling me, searching for anything to pull myself out. By some miracle, my hands landed on a rusty chain bolted to the rock. I crawled desperately up the links until I collapsed onto solid ground, gasping. The chill air revived me as I lay trying to regain my bearings. The desperate pleas for help echoed again from somewhere ahead in the tunnels. Whoever it was sounded weak, their voice growing fainter. I had to find them quickly. Stumbling to my feet, I shuffled toward the cries, one hand trailing the curving wall. "Hello," I shouted into the darkness. "Keep calling out. I'm coming to help." The stranger's exclamations guided me through the twisting passages. Soon, an orange glow appeared ahead. Hope soared in my chest. Could other survivors have found a way to navigate this nightmare? I hurried toward the light until the tunnel opened into a small chamber. Across the room, a lantern rested on the dusty floor, its flame dancing gracefully. But its bearer was not what I expected at all. A hunched figure knelt with its back to me, lean frame draped in tattered miner's clothes. It seemed to be hunched over something on the floor. Wet snarls and the sound of tearing flesh erupted from the form as it feasted. I froze. This was no trapped person in need of assistance. Before I could move, the figure paused its feast and straightened slowly. As it turned, the lantern light illuminated its monstrous face. I choked back a scream. Its features were long and skeletal, with eyes that reflected the lantern's flame like an animal's. Dark blood stained its peeling lips, filled with crooked teeth charred as splinters. It fixed its unblinking gaze upon me and let out an ear-splitting shriek that ricocheted off the chamber walls. The creature tossed aside the body it had been feeding on, a mangled rabbit. In a blur of motion, it was rushing straight at me. I hurled myself back into the tunnel, crashing into the wall in my panic. The monstrous thing's talons screeched against the stone where my head had just been. I fled through those tunnels, the creature's wails piercing my skull. My heart beat wildly as I gasped for breath. Blindly, I careened into walls and debris, scrambling like a madman with the beast close behind. I had no idea where I was going anymore. My only thought was getting distance between me and that thing. How could such an unnatural creature exist this far beneath the mountain? At last, I could run no more. Doubled over wheezing, I surveyed the tunnel ahead through the darkness. A small crevice split the left wall. I dove desperately for it, just as sharp talons swiped the space where I'd stood. Rolling into the tight gap, I scrambled deeper until I reached a small hollow in the rock I could crouch within. I huddled there, hyperventilating, willing my heart to steady as the monstrous thing howled in frustration. It prowled the tunnel, sniffing for my scent. My whole body shook with terror as I sat pinned in that claustrophobic hole, listening to its cries just yards away. Dark thoughts swirled through my mind. I was completely trapped with nowhere left to go. Soon it would find me, and those needle-like teeth would tear me apart. I had to force those paralyzing thoughts down. Panicking now would only quicken the end. I focused on controlling each shuddering breath, gradually quieting my pounding heart. If I could remain perfectly still and silent, perhaps the creature would think I'd escaped down another tunnel. Playing dead was my only chance. The shuffling steps and snuffling crept dangerously close until I could hear the thing's foul breaths rasping from just outside. Any second, it would peer into my crevice, and that would be my end. But the tense moments dragged on, and gradually the sounds retreated down the tunnel. Still, I did not dare move a muscle, barely breathing. It could be lurking just around the bend, waiting to pounce at the slightest noise. Only once the oppressive silence had stretched for endless minutes did I finally dare exhale. The immediate threat had passed, but I did not know if the creature still prowled these tunnels, seeking my scent. I would have to wait here perfectly still for much longer to be certain the coast was clear. The chill seeped into my flesh as I sat pinned in that tight space. My mind turned over all I had glimpsed of the hideous beast. Had it once been human, or was it some evil unique to these caverns? I crouched in that cramped hole until I lost all sense of time, my thoughts spiraling into strange waking nightmares, but I dared not move or make a sound. Finally, I could take the confinement no more. After a long stretch of silence, I risked creeping out inch by inch back into the tunnel, ears straining for any sign of the creature. The tunnels appeared deserted. There was no way to know if I had waited long enough, but I had to take the chance. Somehow, I had to escape the depths this monster now claimed as its hunting grounds. I shuffled along the icy tunnel floor, fingers trailing the wall to guide me. Anything could be lurking just beyond my reach. My own labored breaths reverberated strangely, making me question what was real noise versus figments of my strained mind. How long had I been stumbling through this maze? Minutes stretched to hours in the claustrophobic darkness. Hunger gnawed at my gut. My head throbbed from dehydration. Much longer in this oppressive void, and I would grow too weak to go on. I had to find some path back toward air and light before the darkness swallowed me completely. But the crude tunnels meandered endlessly, devoid of any landmark or change beyond occasional side passages splitting off into further unknown blackness. I dared not risk those branching ways, staying on my chosen path. Trudging deeper into the tunnels, the cold air seemed to leech the will from my bones. What if there was no way out? Perhaps these shafts stretched miles in every direction. I shook my head violently, trying to cast out the insidious thoughts. I could not give in to despair. As my mind conjured images of the light and life overhead now lost to me, my hands slid across something smooth, writing carved into the hard wall. I traced the crude block letters carved into the stone. Turn back. No exit. Despondent warning of some other lost soul. At least, I was not the first to pass this way, and if others had found some means of escape, so might I. Heart-end, I shuffled forward using the carving as a starting point, searching for any further signs or guidance. The floor gradually sloped downward, leveling out onto worked stone rather than fractured bedrock. Old minecart tracks emerged beneath my feet, confirming I had found a main tunnel. I followed the rails, hoping they might lead to a main shaft with elevators to the surface. Even an abandoned passage would have purer air, bringing me closer to escape. Soon, a dim grayish glow emerged ahead. I rushed desperately toward that promise of light. The tunnel opened into a small lamp room, its dirt walls covered in yellowed papers and old notices. My searching fingers found a lantern on a hook, with a few drops of oil still swishing inside. I lit the wick with trembling hands, shielding the precious flame. The room leaped into relief, faded maps and charts, shelves of corroded tools and parts, the entrance to several diverging passages. But most amazing of all, on the far wall hung a linen map of the entire mine layout, labeled in smudged ink. Tracing the main shaft, I found my location. And there, hundreds of yards north, a small maintenance tunnel branched off marked Emergency Exit. Could this be my salvation? With the route in hand, I might just be able to navigate out of this nightmare. I committed the map's important details to memory before lifting my lamp and setting off once more, still wary. But now, with hope stemming the tide of darkness eating at my courage, the abandoned mine had not claimed me yet. I hurried along the rail line, referring constantly to the map in my mind. The main tunnel should soon angle east along an iron vein. There. I turned confidently at the bend, checking side passages for the spur tunnel that led to freedom. At last, I came to my turnoff. A rusted sign read, Service Corridor 4. This had to be it. I shuffled as fast as my exhausted legs could manage down the cramped, declining side tunnel, ignoring the burn in my thighs. Only a little further, and I would be free of this nightmare. But as I neared the exit, a piercing wail echoed through the passages behind me, reverberating off the walls. My blood turned to ice. Panicked, I rushed down the corridor. Fresh air kissed my face ahead. I was close. But the shrieks of the creature echoed closer behind. I darted through a decrepit wooden door into a small chamber housing a rusting elevator cage. I pried open the metal grill, scrambled inside, and worked the lever. The machinery screeched in protest, but began to rise, lifting me up the shaft as the unnatural cries sounded below. Finally, I reached another tunnel mouth and pulled myself into the hallway. The shrieking monster was trapped down in the mine depths. I could barely believe my luck. I shuffled down the rusty service tunnel towards promised daylight, ready to leave the horrors below forever. I staggered from the miney exit as the first delicate rays of dawn stretched across the valley. I blinked against the soft light, so muted compared to the vivid sun in my memory, but infinitely brighter than the endless dark I'd left behind. Pine-scented air filled my lungs, refreshingly crisp after the stale tomb of the tunnels. Birdsong echoed through the trees, welcoming a new day. The living world emerged again, while the mine's horrors receded into the night. I made my way downhill into the woods, boots crunching on gravel and needles. I had to get back to my town and tell everyone what I had experienced. But for now, I wanted only to walk beneath the open sky, breathe deep into the mountain air, and let the soothing forest heal my wounded spirit.
Thank you for joining us on this captivating journey. If you found this exploration as enthralling as we did, please like, share, and subscribe.